All right. Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house. We're so glad that you chose to come and worship and celebrate with us today. We are going to dive right into part two of our series. We just kicked off last week, the five marks of maturity. We're studying through the book of James. I have a lot of ground to cover, and I want to get into it. Before I do that, I just want to really quickly do a follow-up from last week and after we kicked it off, because I challenged you guys. I told you I would be challenging you every single Sunday, and then I also wanted you to begin to challenge yourself throughout the week. I talked about some commitments to make, and we provided some resources to the church for you guys to take throughout the week, and so I wanted to share those really quick. There'll be a slide up on the screen. If you weren't here, you'll be hearing this for the first time, and then just be a reminder to keep going through this. And so I've created a book. It's called the Five Marks booklet, and it goes through the five marks we'll be discussing through the book of James. So it's kind of a companion study to what we're doing every single Sunday. And so you can purchase one of these, and then along with it is a scripture journal. And all this has in it is the book of James, but then on the inside, there's just a place for you to journal and write your thoughts as you're going through this study with this book. Within this study, you're challenged to read a chapter of James every single day. There's five chapters, so you'll read one chapter each day of the week. And so I would encourage you to buy these. You can buy these as a bundle. We have a few copies left. There aren't that many, so if you weren't here, you missed it last week, make sure you stop by and grab one of those. And then along with that, there's also another book that I would recommend to you kind of as another supplemental thing. This is a commentary on the book of James by pastor and author Warren Wiersbe. This is phenomenal. It's been one of my books. This is my personal copy. I've had this for years and years. I've read through it multiple times, and it's such a great book to help kind of go through and understand what it means to be and become a mature follower of Jesus. So I encourage you to grab some of those things. One more thing. One of my challenges was to commit to be at Bible study on Sunday nights as we dive deeper into the book of James. And what I'm going to be doing, I understand that you can't make it sometimes or ever, and so I wanted to provide you with that material as well. So if you have our app, you can go on our app, and in the menu, you'll see Bible study, and you can be able to go and kind of just work through that. So if you're wanting to dive a little bit deeper into the scripture, into the word, that's something you can do by yourself, or you can gather together with others throughout the week and do that. And I would encourage that. So make sure you're utilizing all of these resources, all right? Amen. Okay, great. All right, somebody's here. Okay, and so here's what we did. Last week we kicked this thing off. We went through week one, and if you got the booklet, there was a memory verse in the booklet. It was James 1:4. So I just want to kick off. We're going to read that together. It'll be up on the screen. And so we're going to read that out loud. So join me in reading through James 1:4. Here's what it says. Endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. What a promise, right? And so that's how this whole thing kicked off. This is what we're focusing on. Man, being mature, complete, and lacking nothing. And that requires endurance to complete its work. So let's dive in. Week two. We're kicking today off with Mark 1 of our maturity, which will be patient in testing. This is the first mark of maturity, is being patient in testing. And so this is going to come from James 1, 2, and 3. And so I'll read this out to you. Consider it great joy whenever you experience trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, I want to focus really quick on that word endurance right there. The Greek root word is hypomone. And what this word means, and I love it as you kind of break it down, and you'll see it on the screen, it says steadfastness. This is such a powerful word. Just being steadfast in what you're going through. You see patience, you see endurance, but then it takes both of those words and it calls it what? Patient endurance. And I'm like, man, that is such a powerful thing. And so it's talking about being patient and producing patience in us in what we go through. How many of you out there, you would say by a show of hands, you are a patient person, no matter the circumstance, no matter what's going down, no matter what's happening, you would say for the most part, I'm patient. Be kind to yourself. You're like, yeah, I'll go ahead. Raise your hand high. Be proud of your patience. And then look around at all the very impatient people in the room. No, hold on. Keep your hand up. If you think you're patient, all right, if someone's raising their hand and you're sitting next to them, raise your hand if you agree that they're a patient person. Oh, yeah, okay. Some people were like, no, he's lying. He's lying in church. So here's the reality. Like, patience is one of those things, like, you could be like, there are, for the most part, yes, but there are times, there are circumstances, there are people who test my patience. And so what we're going to look at is the book of James and how James speaks into being patient when we go through tests, trials, or suffering. Now, James kicks this whole thing off, and really what he begins with is he starts encouraging believers as to endure through trials. And so he's speaking to a lot of things that are taking place. And so you just got to kind of take yourself into this context where the Christians of that time, these are the early Christians, and really he's specifically talking to Jewish Christians, and they've experienced persecution, they've experienced hardship, they've experienced trial. All of these things are taking place. If you remember, if you've been reading through this, in James 1:1, he talks to the 12 tribes who are in the dispersion or who are dispersed. And what this is speaking to is the Jewish people being scattered throughout a kind of Greek culture or Gentile culture, and they're speaking their dialect. And so just a lot of who they are and how they were called to live has been kind of just attacked. And so all of that is, they're just scattered around. So this is the dispersion. Now, on top of that, you also have Jewish Christians who believe Jesus is the Messiah, and they're following Jesus, but then you have the Jewish people who don't believe in that, and so you have division that is taking place within their own ranks. And if that's not enough, like the scattering and the division, we have this other thing that's taking place where they are under oppression of Roman rule. And so you kind of just begin to understand some of the things that the early church and what James is writing to are experiencing in this moment. And so the reality of it is this, is that Jesus did come and free them, right? He freed them from bondage to sin, and he freed them from death. But their hardships, their daily troubles, all the things that they, guess what? They didn't just disappear. And so, man, there are trials, there's testing, things that we have to endure. And so, you know, most likely a lot of these believers, what they were expecting from the Messiah, like they were hoping that the Messiah would come and bring in like another prosperous and peaceful Davidic dynasty, where Jesus would show up, overthrow Roman rule, Israel would be back on the top, and there would be peace all throughout the land. And again, Jesus came, but he didn't come to overthrow Roman rule. He came to overthrow sin and death. And so he comes and he does that, but the problems still remain. And so James is responding to their suffering. And in the midst of it, he reminds them. He says, be patient. Be patient in your testing. Remember, God is still working. God is still moving. And what I want to tell you, I want you to hold on for this and for the rest of this sermon is this, that God will test us to produce maturity in us. He's going to test us to mature us. He's going to test us to grow in our faith. You see, patience is learned by us through tests and trials. How many of you ever paid for patience? Yeah, was that the best decision of your life, right? You're like, oh, you want patience? Okay, great. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be patient in, right? And God's going, you asked for it, here you go. And so patience is learned by us through tests and trials. But I also go, patience is learned by others through our example in those times of testing and trial. And so God's going, I want to work in you, but I also want to work through you. And so you got to ask this question, like, how do others see us respond in tough or difficult moments? Does our response point to our faith and trust in God's word and God's promise and who God is? Does our response help others see and experience Jesus through us? And God wants that to take place. God wants to be able to have you put your faith in him on display, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of testing. And so the question becomes, are we patient or impatient in times of testing? Now, with this whole thing in maturity, we kind of just think about moments in our life when we were immature, just throughout the thing, throughout like growing up. And, you know, just consider the fact, like, how many of you would go, you know what, babies are really, really patient. right? No. And you just think about like babies, man, they are so needy and impatient. They're not patient when waiting for you to feed them, change their diaper, or hold them, right? And they're just like, do what I want to do. And they're, you know, they're screaming and crying because they can't talk yet. And so there's just this impatience. And then you get to, you know, toddlers, preteens. Now they're definitely patient, toddlers and preteens, right? Extremely patient with one another as they play or whatever they're doing. They're really, really patient with you, waiting for you to stop talking so they can ask you 100 questions about nothing, right? So patient. They're really, really patient when it comes to arriving at whatever destination you're trying to get to. And no matter if you've told them 400 times, they're going to ask you again because they're tired of being in the car. Anyway, so like there's this impatience. And then you get to the teen years, right? And I'm just like, oh my goodness, the impatience of teenagers. And really, it's just a lot of it showcases itself when it's time to eat. Like, when are we eating? What are we eating? How much can we eat? Why is it taking so long? Can I get second? Like, just impatience with food in general, right? And patient, like, I don't know if you have teenagers, but most of the time, they're really, really patient with their younger siblings. Am I right? And oftentimes, I'm just like, if I could just switch roles and have you be you when you were their age and see how patient your older brother or sister is. Anyway, and I try to remind, like, just remember you were a sixth grader once. I'm sorry, I love sixth graders, but man, sometimes they will try your patience to all get out. So, patience, patience. So, and you just, I share all this just to like show like, there's this maturity that should be taking place as we get older. And the same is true in our spiritual patience. God will test us to produce spiritual patience within us. Unfortunately, majority of the time, when we experience testing, trials, suffering, we still act like impatient children. And we're not willing to be patient with God. And what I'll say from this is that impatience is often an indicator of spiritual immaturity. And I'm sorry if that called you out, but the truth is the truth. And so you just got to look at that and go, okay, in my life, where am I being impatient? Who am I being impatient with? And what does that have to do with my relationship with God? And maybe instead of focusing on this over here and the problems that you're facing over here, you should go, maybe I just need to be focusing on God again. What is God trying to show me? What is God trying to do in me? Stop focusing on all these things that are happening and just turn back to Him and go, God, do your work. I am your vessel. And endure. And so this is what James is calling us to. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to jump over James chapter 5. James, man, talks through like 5 different verses about patience. I want to read verses 7 through 11 to you, and then I'm going to unpack all of it. Here's what James says. Therefore, brothers, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so there's a lot to unpack. Let's just start with verse 7. Here's what verse 7 says. Therefore, be patient until the Lord's coming. Let me just clarify something right here. James not saying, hey, after you've accepted salvation with Jesus, all you got to do is sit and wait, live your life until he comes back. You don't have to grow. You don't have to mature. You don't have to move towards him. You don't have to read his word. You don't have to try to change your life. Jesus did the work. Now just wait till he comes back. That is not what James is saying. And sadly, many Christians, they go, I have accepted who Jesus is and what he did for my life, but I am not going to do anything to apply it to my life. I'm not going to do anything to mature in my faith, to mature in my patience. And we just sit back and wait. In the meantime, what we're supposed to be doing is maturing in our faith, looking and living like Jesus and leading others to him. We don't just sit back and go, man, I'm so thankful that Jesus died for me. Hope he, you know, connects to the next person. No, we're called to live out the faith in Christ that saves us from our sin so that others can see it through us and can be redeemed as well. And so I think so often we get so focused on everything we're going through that we forget what others are going through and they don't even have the hope of Jesus. And so it's like, man, God's like, I'm going to work in you. And so maybe you've been going through trial after trial after trial. Maybe God's like, wake up. It's time to stop being an immature Christian and start looking around you to what I have for you. Anyway, I got to get back to this. Okay. James is teaching in this moment that no matter what, because we're going to go through trials. James is saying, listen, you're going to experience hardship. When you pursue Christ and a life in Christ, you're going to pursue it. Don't let that be a surprise. But what you should do in the midst of all of it is you should hold on to the hope that Jesus is coming back. And so we look forward to it. But in the meantime, we work and we mature in who we are in Christ. Then he continues his thought. So he says, be patient till the Lord's coming. And then he goes on and he shares this illustration about a farmer. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Now, the farmer is patient. You want to know why? Because he understands he has no control over the weather. Can he control when it rains? Can he control how much it rains? No, the farmer can't do this. So he's not focusing on that. He does not focus on or stress out or worry about what he cannot control. Instead, he focuses on something he can control. And you ready for what it is? He can control his attitude in the waiting. That's what he can control. And so what I'll say to you is that during testing, our attitude is often determined by our patient endurance. Are we patiently enduring what we are going through? If we are willing to be patient, it will be reflected in our attitude. And so just as a farmer patiently waits for the rain to come to help the fruit grow, we must focus on patiently waiting through tests and through trials for the fruit that God wants to produce in us. Some of you are like, wait, there's some fruit in me? Yeah, God's got some fruit he wants to produce in you. You want to know what that fruit is? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. What else? Patience. Oh, look at that. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. When there is testing or trials in our life, those are the fruits. Those are the characteristics that God is wanting to produce in us. And so we go, okay, well, how is this spiritual fruit? How is this spiritual growth, how is it produced? Because here's what happens. The soil, this is what Luke tells us. I'm going to show you that. Luke 8 tells us that the soil becomes prepared for the seed. Luke 8, Jesus tells us that our hearts are the soil and that the word of God and the character of God is the seed that is planted there. So let me share these words. Verse 11 of Luke 8 says, the seed is the word of God. And then jumps to verse 15. It says, the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, what do? They hold on to it by what? Oh, they're enduring. There's this patient endurance that's taking place. And because they are holding on to the word of God, what do? What's it say? Is it still up there? Oh, they bear fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. And so, as the soil endures hardship and it holds on to the seed of the word, it produces spiritual fruit, and that brings maturity to the believer who endures. And so whatever God sees fit for you to go through, for me to go through, we must endure by holding fast to his word. Let that seed take root, be planted, and grow up out of us. In his book, Be Mature, Warren Wiersbe, just kind of as he reflects on the purpose behind trial and testing, he says this. He says, God must balance privilege with responsibility and blessing with burden, or else we become spoiled, sheltered, and pampered children. And I'm just going, man, what he's alluding to is the fact that you and I believe we need to continually be humbled in our lives. Humility. God wants to produce humility in us. And now you may not have caught it as we've read through this or you read through it on your own, but the very beginning of James's letter, do you know how he starts? He starts in a posture of humility. We were talking about this a little bit last week. And so it's very subtle. James simply says, he introduces himself, ready as this. He says, James, the servant of God or slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you see the humility, and here's the reality of it all. He could have said, hey, this is James. I'm the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And by the way, I'm Jesus's favorite brother, so y'all better listen to me. Okay, I got some stuff I want to drop on you. No, but instead what he does is he's humble. And so James subtly models humility. But then we consider the humility of Jesus, who humbled himself, taking on the form of a slave and choosing suffering and death. This is what Philippians 2 says. It starts with this, verse 5. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. Let's just put a period there and say, let's that be our life first, right? Whatever's going on, whatever trial, whatever test, whatever suffering, whatever way God is testing you, what make your attitude that of Christ Jesus. Going on, it says, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of man. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus's humility was shown through joyful, don't miss this, through joyful submission to suffering and trials so that he might redeem you and I from sin and death and bring glory to the Father. And so I go, you know what else is forged in testing? Humility. Humility is forged, and it becomes an indicator of our maturity. And so just as patience is an indicator of maturity, humility is a defining characteristic of a mature Jesus follower. And so it's not just are we patient, but also are we humble? Is that something that's being tested in us? Is that something that we are showcasing? Because I go, without humility, we will struggle to patiently endure testing, trial, and suffering in our life. And so God, he tests us. He tests us to produce patience and humility in us. And he's seeing, you know, how we're going to respond. How are we going to respond to him? How are we going to respond to where he's leading? How are we going to respond to what he's doing? And so he's doing that in us to develop and strengthen our relationship with him. But I also go, he tests us to help us respond with patience and humility toward one another. And so he's like, don't just be patient with me and humble with me. I call you to patience and humility with each other. In the midst of teaching on patience, James just kind of drops in verse 9, and he says this, do not complain about one another. All right, James, you got it, man. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I'm talking about patience. And don't complain so that you will not be judged. And what's he saying? Y'all need to be patient with one another. Y'all need to begin to understand one another. You need to be empathetic with one another. Don't be so quick to judge somebody else based on your circumstances and based on what God is doing in your life. And so it's one of those things where it's like, just as your soil is being cultivated, so is theirs. Just as you are experiencing testing, trial, and suffering, so are they. Just as God is maturing your patience and your humility, there's a good chance he's doing the same in somebody else. And listen, if it's hard for you, it's probably hard for them. And so we've really got to begin to understand, be empathetic, consider others and what they're going through instead of just complaining and saying, when will they get it? Here's the other thing when it comes to this, and I think why James brings this up. Because as God works to mature you and others, right, what he's trying to do is make you more like Jesus. And as you press into that, as you begin to endure the things you're going to, you know who's going to come against it? The enemy. You think he wants you to be a patient person? No. You think he wants you to be humble? Absolutely not. And so if you are working, actively working on those things, then the enemy is going to come against that. And so one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is division within the church. And so I go, what quicker way to create division than to have the believers be impatient with one another and what they're going through and what they're dealing with? It's so crazy because just this past week alone, I've heard from a handful of people that said, man, I've been going through this five marks thing. I prayed and I want to commit to this thing, and already I'm feeling attacked. Already I feel like God is trying to, or that Satan is trying to come against me as I pursue God. I'm trying to set aside intentional moments with him, but something comes up. I'm trying to have better communication with my spouse, and we're trying to do this thing together. And I feel like the enemy has just come in, and he's just going like this, and he doesn't want that to happen. And so what I'll say to you is, if that's the case, if you were like, man, I'm all for this last Sunday, but then Monday, Tuesday rolled around and you felt like you got punched in the face, I'm just going, Satan doesn't want you to pursue this. And so you got to go, you know what? I'm not letting him win this one. I am going to endure patiently through whatever happens so that I can become more like Jesus Christ. Let God work. Let him work and see your enemy for who your enemy is. It is not the people around you. It is our adversary, the deceiver and accuser. And he is going to twist things and say things, and he is going to get you to try to come against one another and even come against the church. Don't let it happen. Be steadfast. Patiently endure what you're going through. Here's what I'll say. If we struggle with being patient with God, we're probably going to find ourselves being even more impatient with God's people. And so I'll say it like this. Impatience with God can often be seen through our impatience with others. And I kind of spoke into this a little bit earlier, but I'm going, if you feel like that someone else is testing your patience, if you feel like there's a circumstance or a situation and you are really acting impatient toward that thing, you need to take a step back and say, what is God trying to show me about me? What is God trying to produce in me? How have I been impatient with him? And now I am redirecting it to somebody else. And I think that's the question we got to begin to ask. And the reality of it is this. It's a sad reality, but it's a reality all the same. We tend to become most impatient with those who are closest to us. When you think about with your kids, and we're constantly asking or saying or thinking, when will my kids listen? When will they finally obey the first time? When will they start making good choices? Or when will my husband actually understand? When will he step up to lead the family? When will he listen? When will he be present? When will my wife respect me, meet my needs, see the burden I carry, show me more grace? We show that impatience because we're probably dealing with other things and we need someone else to blame. Can't be us. Can't be our fault. And you know what God wants to do? He wants to say, that's prideful. You need to be humbled. And I'm going to do that by working on your patience, first with me and then with others. And so it happens with those closest to us, but then I also go, you know who else it happens with? It happens with our church family. It's like we have these brothers and sisters in Christ who all love Jesus and want to be more like Jesus. We're trying our very best to be like him in a sin-ridden world, and we are so impatient and mean and rude and gossipy about one another, especially when it comes to the organization of the church. And again, we get so inward-focused that we forget that there are other people in the church who were also going through things. I've been in ministry a long time. I've sat across the table from many people who have felt hurt, who have left church for one reason or another. Oftentimes I have to bite my tongue. I have to ask God for grace and mercy and compassion and kindness, because I hear things from people all the time that are so immature. And all it is it was all about me, 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 me. In the church, I needed prayer and they didn't respond quickly enough. I had needs and then they weren't met when I hoped. You know, I was looking for connection and engagement and it just never happened the way that I had thought it was. The pastor and staff, they aren't available when I need them to be available. Those worship services, they take way too long and that pastor won't stop talking. I kind of just added that last one in there just for a little laugh. And you've probably heard that. You've probably had conversations with other people about another church. It's just one of those things, like, are we really patient. Do we really show the grace and the patience that God has shown us? That God shows us every single day. I point these things out to simply say this. The patience that James calls us to with God is meant to be extended to one another. Now let's wrap up James's thoughts in chapter 5. He completes his thoughts on patience by saying in verse 11, he says, count as blessed those who have endured. And what he's saying is like, count as blessed those who've suffered, those who've been through testing, those who've been through trial, and those who have endured through all these things. While there will be tests, trials, and sufferings, what this is saying is our patient endurance brings blessing with it. We go, what are those blessings? Listen to me. The blessings when it comes to God will be innumerable. Some you'll see, some you'll experience, and some you won't even have a clue until you get to look back upon your life and go, oh my goodness, look at the way God blessed me again and again and again. But let's just connect it to the blessings of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The fact that we are blessed with the Spirit of God in us that is working in us to produce this kind of fruit. So we go, testing leads to patience. And patience, I go, produces the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you what I mean. When we experience the love of God, you will find joy through the peace that Jesus brings. And so you see what I'm saying? Love, joy, and peace. Guess what those three things are going to allow you to do? They're going to allow you to be patient or learn to be patient in all things, which from there will allow you to exhibit spiritual maturity in the behaviors of kindness, of goodness, of gentleness, of faith, and of self-control. Let me say it simply. Patience is the hinge that kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and self-control swing on. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Without patience, it is nearly impossible to consistently showcase kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and self-control. And I think this is why, man, like James comes out the gate and he says, you have got to be patient and you have got to endure in these things. And as you are doing that, learn to be patient with one another. James then, he ends in this section with a quick nod to the patient endurance of Job. Now, you know, the early church, they would have known this story. This would be a story they have all read before. If you've never read Job, it's in the Old Testament. It's a pretty short read. You can get through it really quick. I'm kidding. It's not. It's long. There's a lot there. And you know, but if you have read it, like you understand right out the gate what James is speaking to. So James 5:11 says, you have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so if you haven't read it, go read it. If you have read it, here's the reality. Job's friends, Job's wife, and Job's new family that he was blessed with were internally impacted by Job's patient, enduring faith. That man lost everything, had everything taken away, but he patiently endured through it all, holding fast to the character and the goodness and the promises of God. In this story of God's sovereignty, of God's goodness, of God's compassion and mercy, it was then passed down by Job for another four generations just in his family, and you and I are impacted by it today as well. And so we got to understand, man, how important this is. Because like a single display of patient endurance could be the very thing that leads someone else to Jesus. And I'm just going like, we got to keep that on the forefront. We got to consider what that means in our life. And then if that's true, a single display of patience could lead someone to the Lord, then the opposite is also true. A single display of impatience could be the very thing that leads someone away from Jesus. So just think about a recent kind of encounter or difficult situation that you've gone through. And then consider your response. Consider your attitude. Consider how you spoke to someone about someone. Consider how you complained. Consider your thoughts, your words, your actions about God or even about God's people. As you bring all that to mind, follow it up with this. Did it bring yourself and others closer to him or further away? I'm going like, if we're following Jesus, we want to be as close to him as we can possibly be, right? And as we pursue him, we don't want to push others away. We want to say, come with us. And we've got to look at these things and go, God, I understand in this moment it's hard, it's tough. Give me the patience, give me the endurance. Not only that I can mature in you, but that the others around me can see you in me and see you in my reaction to what I'm going through. It's so important. Now, at the end of the day, if we're desiring to be patient in testing, I'll just simply say this, we gotta look to Jesus. We gotta look to him, who not only modeled patience, endurance through suffering, but he did so joyfully. I go, man, that I wanna be like that in any and all circumstances. Here's what Hebrews 12:2 says. It says, let us look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. He suffered death on the cross, but he accepted the shame as if it were nothing because of the joy that God put before him. And I'm just looking at him going, listen, God's patience with you, God's patience with me led to salvation through Jesus Christ. Because he was graceful, because he was merciful, because he was compassionate, because he had patience, you and I received redemption through Jesus Christ. And I'm going, that's the patience that God wants to produce and cultivate in your life. His patience. Oh, and it's like unconditional. Trials will come. Suffering is going to happen. There will be testing in your life, but God is still good. And Jesus is still risen, and the Spirit is still moving. Let those things be reminders as you're going through, and let, I would say, hold fast to those things. And as you hold fast to those things, the love, the joy, the peace, they will produce the rest of the fruits of the Spirit in your life so that you and I can consider it all joy when we face trials of many kinds. And it produces endurance in us as we become more and more like Jesus. Church, I wanna ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And in this moment, what I wanna do is I wanna pray over you. I wanna pray for you. I wanna pray over some specific situations that I know are and have taken place in your life. So I'm gonna pray a prayer of patience over those situations. Right now, God, I pray over that person who has been battling addiction, who has been just haunting them and been just something that has been on their life for too long, and they've struggled, they've tried, it's hurt, it's caused pain. God, I'm praying that you would continue to work through that. God, I'm praying for freedom from that. I'm praying for the person who is watching someone else addicted, that they're praying. I pray that you would continue to help them be patient. I would continue to have them continue to show grace and mercy and compassion to that person as they make bad decisions time and time again. You're still working. You can still move. May we have hope in that. God, I pray. I pray over the marriage that is struggling. I pray over the conflict. I pray over the arguments. I pray over the lack of communication. I pray that whatever the enemy is doing to divide them, God, that you would make it clear that they wouldn't see one another as the enemy, but they would recognize the true enemy and begin to work together to push him out of their marriage. Would you bring them closer to you? Would you give them patience and humility for one another? Would you help them be sympathetic and empathetic to what the other person is experiencing and feeling and going through? At the end of the day, strengthen their marriage and their relationship with you through what they're going through so that they can show their children what it means to endure through testing and trials and doing it with God by their side. God, I pray over the wayward children in the room. The child that we prayed for, since the moments we first set eyes on them, that they would be yours. There's a circumstance. They were tempted. Satan grabbed a hold of them. And I know the parent's heart breaks for that child that is living in sin and depravity that only leads to death. I pray for the hope and patient endurance for that child. Continue to have that parent who has been praying nonstop. Continue to show up to be a light, to be loving, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be merciful, no matter what happens to that child. God, I pray against the immaturity of a longtime believer, someone who's been stagnant, who's been idle, who's just been going through the motions. They're not moving towards you. They're not trying to live like you. They're just doing the bare minimum. God, I pray against that right now. I pray that that spirit would be broken. I pray that the spirit within them, your spirit within them, would be like a burning hot fire that they cannot ignore, and that they'd begin to walk in your ways and desire more of your word. God, I pray for friends that we have who don't want anything to do with our faith or with our God or with our church. God, I pray for moments with them. I pray for opportunities with them. I pray that we would show them the love and kindness that you have shown us. God, I pray over the health concerns in this room. People who've been dealing with an ailment, struggling with illness for a long time. And God, they're fatigued. They're at a place where they're losing hope. Would you remind them that you are the great healer? May you change their perspective and maybe show them how they can use that ailment to reach others. I won't pretend to know what you're doing or why you're doing it in their life, but I know that you can work in and through all things. Give them hope. Lastly, what I want to do today as we continue to pray is I want to pray for everyday patience in the small details of our life in every moment. God, I pray for patience, for parents who are teaching and disciplining and discipling their kids, would you let them have your heart for their children, to be compassionate and merciful and kind and gracious? God, I pray within homes. I pray for healthy, open, vulnerable communication between spouses. And I pray that in the midst of that communication, you would be right in the middle. Allow us to draw closer to you in our marriages so that they can be stronger. God, I pray for patience as we go out into our community, whether standing in line at a grocery store, waiting in the drive-thru to get our coffee, or just driving to work. Would you allow patience to overflow from us in those moments where we find frustration and stress and worry and anger boiling up? Would you replace it with your patience, with your kindness, with your goodness, and let it be seen by all those around us? Let us be a light in our community no matter what we're going through. God, I pray that as we go into our workplaces, that we can show patience towards our bosses and our coworkers, those who are far from Christ and don't know Christ. May we be the only Christ that they see that day. And just keep working in us and through us. I pray that we would see you in all things, see you working and moving through all things, the good, the bad, all of it. You're in it all. We have the hope of Jesus in our lives. We have the Spirit producing fruit. May we grab hold of those things in the midst of trial and testing and suffering. God, thank you for this letter. Thank you for your servant, James. Thank you for the way it challenges us to be more like your son, Jesus. May we press on toward that goal. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.